Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Internet world, and welcome to the Crossed in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and I want to say thank you once again for taking time out of your busy life to join me on the broadcast. Today is Thursday, July 23rd, 2020, and we are rapidly, it seems, coming to the end of my favorite season of the year, summer. It goes by so fast. And then the fall, and then things change rapidly. But this morning on the broadcast, I want to focus in on a topic that is near and dear to my heart. One of the things that I love to do in life is to write books, and especially to write books about the story of my dear Iranian friends. And it was 5 years ago that I was given the honor and the privilege to write one of the most painful but important books of my life. It was about a girl I had never met, but I had watched on the internet fight for her life, struggle to survive, and then she was executed. And I'm speaking of Rahane Jabari, who on October 25th, 2014, after millions of Iranians and people from all over the world signed a petition to stay the execution, the evil Iranian government executed this innocent young woman for the crime of self-defense. The story of Rahane Jabari from the very beginning just shook me on the inside. I could not believe that a young Iranian girl was going to be hanged for defending herself against a rape attack. But it was no ordinary rape attack. It was from the hands of an evil man, a former government intelligence agent from the Ministry of Intelligence. This man had taken advantage of Rahane. He wanted her, according to his own words, redecorate his surgery suite in Iran. He had found out by listening in on a phone conversation that Rahane was an interior decorator. And he made a proposition, come and work for me, come and redecorate my office. And Rahane, looking to advance herself in Iran, took him up on this offer. His name was Morteza Sorbandi. He claimed to be a surgeon. On the day that she went to his office, she discovered right away something was terribly wrong. It was an empty room in an apartment. And Mr. Sorbandi said to Rahane, relax, take off your hijab, be comfortable. Rahane looked around the room. She looked down from the 5 floors that she was standing up, 5 floors from the ground. And she realized that something was terribly wrong. And in a few minutes, Morteza Sorbandi tried to assault her, tried to rape her. And Rahane was desperate. She was scared to death. but she found a way out. She looked in the table. She saw a small pocket-sized knife. And in desperation to save herself, she lifted that knife and plunged it into the shoulder of this man. Immediately, he began to wince in pain and begin to bleed out very, very quickly, as if she had struck an artery. And she ran to the locked door. And as she ran to the locked door, another man from the other side tried to get in. And she raced down the stairs, fearing for her life. It was a few hours later, at her home, that Rahane received a phone call to come to the police station. To make a long story short, she was charged with the crime of murder against Morteza Sorbandi, even though she insisted she was defending herself. And it was 7 years later, after torture, execution, and after every kind of torture they could enamor on Rahane, that they hanged this innocent woman for defending herself against a former government rapist. In my book, Rahane, A Beautiful Fragrance, in the opening page, I quote Rahane from one of her prison letters that circulated on the internet before her execution. It says, "I, Rahane Jabari, am 26 years old, with a hanging rope in front of my eyes that I am not afraid of. I write to tell the tale that I lived. I want to tell you everything that I said in court, which they did not understand, and everything that I cried out under torture, which was not heard. Everything that I screamed out while I was brutally kicked by four forceful interrogators who regarded themselves as almighty. Perhaps someone in this world would hear my cries and feel my pain. I will never forget when I first read this short paragraph in prison letter number one from Rahane. That last sentence gripped me. Perhaps someone in this world would hear my cries and feel my pain. I knew I was being called to write her story. And it took a lot of work and research. My dear friend Paymane from Malaysia, my Iranian refugee friend, helped me with the translation process of talking to Rahane's mother. I would ask questions about memories, about her last day. And in the first chapter of this book, I spend the first chapter going back in time to the very moments before her execution, when her family visited her for the last time. And I asked Shahzad about that visit, and in detail she described to me what happened on that last day before her execution. They were so convinced that the Sorbandi family would at the last minute forgive. That happens in these cases, and when it's family matters, they did not do so. They were so convinced that the execution would be postponed once again, as it had been postponed twice before. They did not do that. And after 1 o'clock, Rahane was driven to Shahzad Ray prison, some miles away. The way this execution happened is a little controversial. The normal way in these matters is that the person, the murderer, as they call her, is stood on top of a chair, and the family member comes and kicks the chair out from underneath her, and she's hanged. I've heard two different stories that it didn't take place that way this time, that the Sorbandi family pushed a button and Rahane was executed. But nonetheless, Rahane, an innocent rape victim, was killed and executed for defending herself. In this book, Rahane spends her last years in prison writing these letters and also being a voice for oppressed Iranian women. And in my book, I share the stories of what Rahane does and how she reaches out to them. This is an amazing book because it's the story of an amazing, strong Kurdish girl who decided that even though there was a hanging rope in front of her, that she refused to lie. and change her story. They did this several times. Rahane, just say he didn't try to rape you. In the trial, the judge accused her of having a consensual sexual relationship with Morteza Sarbandi and that it had nothing to do with rape, that she was just mad at him. He pictured Rahane as some type of whore. Such a lie about a girl that did everything in her power to maintain the truthfulness of the account. I was raped. He tried to rape me. I defended myself. But the family wouldn't have anything to do with believing her story. When you read this book, this chapter about the trial, you will see what a sham and a kangaroo type trial this was against Rahane. And you will read the injustice against Rahane. I want to mention that in May of 2015, there was a young woman that, and she was also Kurdish too, that in the city of Mahabad, she leapt out of a hotel window to escape a rape attack from an Iranian officer, part of the intelligence. When she did so to try to avoid being raped in May of 2015, there was an angry mob that set the hotel on fire and protested. They knew exactly what was going on. The government, of course, tried to cover this up again as well. But this happened not just to Rahane, but also to a woman named Farinaz. Farinaz is her name. And it's an unbelievable story. When I first read about Farinaz Khosravani, who was an employee at the Terra Hotel, she was assaulted on May 5th by an officer who was trying to rape her. And in defending herself, she leapt out of a hotel window. I think maybe, I don't know, that she read about Rahane and knew what she would endure if she claimed rape in a Sharia law culture. She probably knew that she could never survive and that, like Rahane, they would execute her too for making an accusation against an intelligence officer. It's so sad that this culture does not come to the defense of women. It's so sad that the Iranian government, because a woman's testimony, according to the Quran and in this culture, is worth only half that of a man's, according to the Quran. And so a woman, when she speaks in a court of law, according to the Quran, her testimony is not worth anything, not worth really much at all. A man's testimony bears more weight. And in fact, it takes two women to equal one man in a court of law. And this is how women are treated in Iran. They are berated. They're treated as second-class citizens. But an amazing event took place before the execution. It was a couple of years. This account of what I'm about to read to you took place in a prison letter. Rahane wrote this story, but for whatever reason, it never was translated and appeared on the internet. Her mother, that is Sholeh Pakravan, shared this incredible story with me about what happened to Rahane one night in prison. She was falling asleep. She had just finished reading. And suddenly, in her prison cell, a young girl stood next to her bunk bed. This girl had amazing, bright appearance. And at first, she thought it was one of the cellmates sleepwalking. But she looked at the face of this young girl, and she'd never seen her before. This face of this young girl in her prison cell was unknown to her. Rahane's book that she had been reading fell out of her hands, and this young girl in her prison cell began to tell her about Messiah, about Jesus. She spoke to Rahane about the Bible, about love and compassion. Rahane is shocked. She sat up. She's interrupting the young girl. Don't you know? She doesn't know who she is. Don't you know that you can't roam the corridors after lights out? And this young girl, according to Rahane, smiled warmly at her. I'm a newcomer. I'm not aware of the rules and regulations, Rahane. Rahane is amazed. How does this girl know my name? I've never seen her before. And the young girl's face, according to Rahane, glowed once again with a warm and compassionate smile. And Rahane doesn't know how to deal with this. This girl is talking to her about the Bible. She's terrified. She could get killed doing that in this prison. And this young girl says to her, "You must read books, but not every type of book." And then the young girl gently touched Rahane's hand with hers. Rahane opened up her hand, and she carefully placed a shiny object in Rahane's hand. And then, according to Rahane, this girl completely disappeared. Rahane is trembling with fear. She falls back on her bunk bed and looks at the palm of her hand. It's a small metal cross. But the girl has disappeared. Rahane is trembling with fear. Beads of sweat roll down her cheeks. She nervously took this cross. She stuffed it underneath her pillow and collapsed. She fell asleep. The amazing thing about the story, Rahane wakes up the next morning. And according to what she says in this letter, for the first time in weeks, she doesn't have that heavy weight of stress all over her. She feels different. She feels alive again. And even before she sits up on the bunk bed, she has images of this girl, this Christian girl, as she calls her, flashing across her mind. "This had to be a dream," Rahane says. She didn't really see her. You know, things like that happen in prison. And then Rahane remembered. She pushed her hand underneath the pillow and felt something. In her hand, underneath the pillow, is the metal cross. Now she knows it wasn't a dream. It had been a real experience. "Why me?" Rahane is asking. "Why this cross? I must find this girl." When she looked throughout the prison, according to her letter, she was never able to find this girl. But what happened to Rahane is amazing. She begins to ask her mother, "Please, I want a Bible." This girl had encouraged her to read it. She needed to read it. And after a long battle back and forth, she was able to come across the Bible. This girl had admonished her not to read every type of book, but to read this book, the Bible. Rahane begins to read. She has a hunger and thirst to discover what God is saying in the Bible. She didn't know much about Jesus or Christianity. She was never religious, according to her family's testimony. But for 2 long weeks, Rahane devoured every word, every story in the Bible, and she was touched and she was warmed. One thing that impressed her was that the thousands of men and women who had read this Bible, who had taken a stand for the Bible, had been executed and tortured in many ways just like her. She read it through twice, and deep inside of her soul, she had a burning freedom for the first time, a peace. She says, "It's a miracle. I now have hope. Once again, I now believe in a God who loves us, a God who loves us and will never leave us," Rahane writes in this prison letter. The amazing thing is, after all of the years of torture, mistreatment, brutal attacks by this regime, Rahane says and explains that she can now forgive. And she decides to let go of all the hatred and the bitterness in her heart that had imprisoned her for so long. The Bible had given her the power and grace to forgive those who had physically and emotionally tortured her. Forgiveness had cleansed Rahane's heart and soul. The black clouds, the chains of despair, had been broken by God's word. She now felt like a new person, a butterfly that had emerged from its cocoon. And in my book, on page 198, I write, during her 7 1/2 years of imprisonment, the beautiful fragrance, the beautiful rose of Persia, impacted the lives of many of her cellmates with kindness and mercy. Rahane truly lived up to the meaning of her name. The beautiful fragrance of her character flowed out into the broken lives of prostitutes, drug dealers, political prisoners, and restored hope in their souls and gave them a reason for living. As I mentioned to you, Rahane was not a religious person. Her family never forced her to believe in Islam or to read the Quran. They were given a choice. Rahane never had an inclination before prison to read the Bible. But what I and many others conclude is that this young girl had to be an angel that visited her prison cell. We read stories about that all over the world. How God can visit people in their cells, sending angels to minister to them. So it's not a shock and a surprise, but what amazed me is that this letter was never published on the internet. This visit by this young Christian girl angel, however you want to explain, is a miracle. It changed Rahane's heart. And in that prison, I believe, in her heart of hearts, she became a Christian. And of course, something like that she would have to keep to herself. It's much too dangerous for her to share that. But it altered the course of her life. She could now forgive. She now had a heart of gold, a heart of forgiveness. And she experienced for the first time the love of God in an amazing, amazing way. I want you to hear this song right now by Chris Tomlin. Nobody loves me like you do.
A love letter in the sun.
Powerful worship music from Chris Tomlin, Nobody Loves Me Like You Do. There is so much from Rahane, a beautiful fragrance, that I could share with you today. I wish I had the time. It's a story that has really transformed my life. If you would like to read this book and be a voice for Rahane and all Iranian women, just go to Amazon.com. Rahane, a beautiful fragrance, is a book that has impacted the lives of many of my Iranian friends that know very well what women are treated like in Iran. Iran wants to give the image that there's true freedom, but you know this is their way of trying to hide the truth. And so this book is a personal book for me, and it will shed light on the way women are actually treated in Iran. And it's something that every person needs to understand, every culture, every media outlet needs to hear Rahane's story, because there are thousands of other women like Rahane whose stories have yet to be told. It was just a miracle I was able to hear this story. She was very well known, but there are many more like her. And here on the Cross in the Desert, I'm doing everything I can to bring awareness of the way people are treated, the human rights atrocities. This is the program that puts Iranians on display. I want to thank everyone so much for listening this morning to the broadcast. I really appreciate you taking time out of your busy life. I will see you again on Monday on the Cross in the Desert. Have an incredibly safe and good weekend. God bless you.